Back-to-back passes on this drive. Cousins scans over the middle and picked off. It is Deshaun Elliott. It is Pittsburgh debut coming up with the interception. From the Steeler 47. Cousins from a collapsing pocket. Throws an interception. Dante Jackson. It is Steelers debut inside the 20. He dropped an interception in the first half. If given the choice, he'd say, I'll probably take this one. In the fourth quarter, returns at 48 yards.
Highest paid defense in the NFL played like it yesterday. First drive, not great. Final drive before the half for Atlanta, not great. That was it, though. The second half, the Steelers defense totally put the clamps on Kirk Cousins and company. And not for nothing, man. We've been talking about Justin Fields. He definitely outperformed the other guy.
Yes.
Like, he played a way better game than Kirk Cousins, didn't he?
Than the $100 million quarterback.
That's right. Now, he hadn't practiced, but still, you pay that kind of money for a guy, and the Steelers barely gave up jack for Justin Fields. Fields didn't screw it up. Kirk Cousins did. Mm-hmm. Bang, there's the story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Doran, it's early. You're healthy. Supposed to look good when you're healthy. You're not going to be healthy all year. But this is the best I've felt about the Steelers' defense in a long time. Sixth in the league in points against last year. By the end of the season, they were so hurt that they really couldn't do much. At the safety position, at inside linebacker, they should be the best defense in the NFL. And the Browns' defense last season was the best statistically, even though it was only at home and they were awful on the road. Well, we saw what happened yesterday. Dallas walked up in their trap and took their lunch money. Oof. That defense looked horrendous. And I know that Dallas's offense is really good, but they weren't the same on the road last year as they were at home. So you kind of had two weird things going on. That was the best defense last year. I'll say it right now. Steelers defense. The defense. Super Bowl caliber.
They look pretty good. They look pretty good. And it's not, and I know that Atlanta is not, you know, world beaters, but they do have players and playmakers on that team. I mean, with Drake London, even Kyle Pitts, you know, he held him to what, 26 yards?
Yep.
And then Bijan Robinson's one of the best running backs in the NFL. You know, he had 68 yards, I think, rushing. They did a fantastic job yesterday. They did a fantastic job of getting those guys to the ground and finishing plays. And, you know, on the back end, they look fantastic. Deshaun Elliott, I think that we kind of liked that signing initially. And it didn't flash.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, oh man, they got Deshaun Elliott. Oh my gosh. Like, everybody was like, okay, they got a strong safety. But I think he was just an under the radar sign that could really help this defense, especially the back end, in the way they really want to do things. And then you fold in, you know, the Nick Herbigs, you fold in the Peyton Wilsons, some young guys making plays and being in the right spots. I thought this defense played outstanding, and they're just going to keep getting better and better as the season goes.
I think so too, man. I really do. And they have to be. That's the point of this, I think. They have to be. You can't spend as little as they are on offense and as much as they are on defense and just have the defense be a top 10 unit. No, you got to be one of, if not the best in the NFL. I think you said that all beautifully. Kyle Pitts, 26 yards. He did have the touchdown. Drake London, who I think is a really good player, 15 yards.
Oof.
15 yards. And then you mentioned it, Bijan Robinson, 18 for 68. That guy is explosive. You will take that against him all day long, 18 for 68. So what I'm getting at here is the game plan was outstanding. We're not going to let Drake London beat us. Not going to let Kyle Pitts beat us. If you want to beat us with Ray McLeod, go right ahead.
They basically said, if you want to beat us with Kirk Cousins, go ahead. We're not really worried about it either.
I thought they harassed him all day, too.
Harassed him.
They really did.
He wanted to get tackled. That's what he said before the game, right? Before, like, a couple days before the game, he said, I want to get tackled. I want to feel what it's like to get tackled. I haven't been tackled in a while. Well, he got tackled. He got hit.
He got hit right away.
Yep.
A couple of freezing cold takes, that Twitter account that drives me crazy. Raheem Morris said, we're not going to let T.J. Watt wreck the game. Yeah. Well, guess what T.J. Watt did? He wrecked the game. He had a tackle for loss on that first drive where they bent but did not break. He should have had three sacks. One, he had the illegal hands to the face, which I actually thought was a good call. But it kind of drives me nuts when it's away from the play. Right. Like, Kirkwood, it looked to me, anyhow, layman over here, like he was looking in the slot. Like, that wasn't even his first read.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time he comes off the first read, he's already getting sacked. So did it affect the play? No. And that drives me nuts when they call something that doesn't affect the play, even though it was a penalty. So I'll gripe. T.J. Watt was not offsides on the one.
Nope.
Could not have timed it up more perfectly. And the truly elite ones know how to do that. Would have been a sack fumble. Now, he got a gift from the football gods where the snap hit the player coming across on the jet motion. And so he did wind up having a fumble recovery, which I thought was nice because he deserved to have a fumble recovery in the game. Winds up having a sack. We can do an entire show almost every week talking about the greatness of T.J. Watt, but it's not sexy. I just don't want to take the guy for granted, man.
No.
He might be, he really might be, the best defender in Steelers history. All due respect to me and Joe Green. Those two. You can have a conversation when it's all said and done. Now, he's not going to win four Super Bowls. I just don't want to fly by a show without talking about the greatness of that mm-hmm. guy. And he was, again, outstanding. I thought Patrick Queen was quiet, but Deshaun Elliott and Dante Jackson. What's changed from one year to the next? Those two guys.
Yes.
And they both made plays, big-time plays, in their first game. And I don't want that to go unmentioned because I think it's the best safety tandem the Steelers have had in a while, and that's the best number two corner the Steelers have had in a long time. Just night and day difference from Patrick Peterson last year. And they don't even have Cam Sutton yet.
Right. Terrell Austin did a great job with that game plan, too, and getting those guys ready to go. They knew that they had to play tough defense, but they just looked, and I know it's the first game of the year, you're energized. A lot of those guys didn't play in training camp. Minka didn't really play in preseason, but they just looked like they were flying around. They knew they looked like they knew exactly what they wanted to do and how to execute the things that they wanted to do while folding in some new pieces.
Yeah.
Like, they looked like they literally picked up right where they left off last season when they were playing at a high level, but better.
Yeah. And I think Cam Hayward played well.
Yes.
I think Keanu Benton, here comes Layman Crowley again. I think Keanu Benton misfit one run, but I didn't notice him too much apart from that. Nice play from Montrevious Adams. Uh-huh. They need to stay healthy in the front there. I don't know that they've got great depth, but I thought they played well. I thought the front seven played well. Peyton Wilson led all inside linebackers with three tackles. Really, what's not to like? And what happened on the Beanie Bishop thing with Kyle Pitts wide open in the end zone?
I think Beanie Bishop was supposed to like slough off on the receiver. And whenever you do that, you want to gain depth. You don't want to just kind of settle your feet whenever you're sloughing off a receiver. I think he thought that he had protection behind. Like, I don't know what the coverage was. I have to go back and watch. But if it was like a two-man type coverage, usually you have some protection and a guy's running with the guy that, which is Kyle Pitts. And he didn't get the depth he properly needed because he's in the red zone. He is backed up. There is a end zone behind him. So I feel like it was a 50-50. Like, it was half on Beanie and maybe half on some of the communication going on behind him. I don't fully put that on him. I think that just whole – they just got caught, really, in that position.
And that kind of thing's coachable. Look, Ray McLeod went up, made a couple of good plays. Bijan Robinson made guys miss from time to time. You had that one coverage breakdown. Apart from that, there's nothing not to like, except from John, who tweets in, highest paid defense needs to score some points to get this team over 500. I mean, okay, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
It'll help big time. Didn't need to do it yesterday.
No.
Did not. And, hey, look, when you play the truly elite teams in the NFL, and if your offense is better than last year but still not good or not elite, yeah, that's how you're going to win those kind of games. But, boy, I don't think there's much to complain about from yesterday's defensive performance. You gave up 10 points. You gave up how many yards? 226. I mean, come on. Those are 2008 numbers right there,
right,
man. And in the second half, not that you had a big lead, but when you were playing with a lead, they didn't give Kirk Cousins a second to breathe. Like, that's what it's supposed to look like. And you brought this up earlier, and it needs to be mentioned. When you've got a defense that's this highly paid, you expect great things. But no defense in today's NFL can be out there for 35, 40 minutes and play well. Didn't have to be. Steelers offense held that thing for 35 minutes. And so only 25 minutes time of possession for Atlanta. That means you're going to be fresh at the end of the game. And T.J. Watt, first series, I think first third down, he was on the sideline taking some blows, you know. phrasing. Nick Herbig comes in. You can rotate him in there.
Yes.
You've got depth with Peyton Wilson, with Alandon Roberts, with Patrick Queen. I like it.
And the thing that the question mark behind Nick Herbig was, can he set the edge? Is he big enough and strong enough to do that? And I do believe that that play that he did go in where TJ Watt was getting that blow on the sidelines, they ran a stretch play to the outside, and Herbig did set the edge, which was very, you know, it's a little thing, but it's a big thing at the same time that if you see Herbig out there, you're like, okay, we can run to him and we can get that edge. If you're an offense, he set the edge, looked stout, kind of forced the ball inside, did a great job.
And that was the one question with him. Not that you have a ton, but is he going to be stout against the run? He was there on that particular play. How'd the offensive line play? So we're, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes into the show, and one of the big question marks going in, we haven't mentioned. That must mean they did well. We'll get to them when we come back. Also, unbelievable reporting by Jay Glazer on the Fox pregame show talking about Brandon Ayuk. What does it maybe mean for the Steelers receiver room? We'll talk about that coming up next as well. Mark Caboli going to be joining us at 9 o'clock on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran, I don't think the offensive line was perfect or anything like that, but they didn't look to me like the sieve that we thought they could be, or at least I thought they could be, based on what we saw this preseason.
I mean, without Troy Faltanu, without Isaac Seumalo, I thought they did a pretty good job. You had a rookie center getting his first opportunity, and that being on the road, I definitely was loud in there. That is a tough job to do. And then you have somebody next to you that's getting their first start in Spencer Anderson. That's a tough job as well. You know, Broderick Jones didn't look great in training camp and in preseason. He plays on the right. You got Dan Moore on the left. I thought they did a pretty decent job. I mean, you know, the run did set up a lot of the deep pass plays that Fields and Pickens did connect on. But whenever Fields would do the play actions, whenever he did do the nakeds, the boots, I would look right at the offensive line and see if they were holding up and seeing if they were getting on their guys, and they were. And they would create – it wasn't on purpose, I don't think, but whenever they – when Fields would set up in like a play action – there was lanes for him to even run if he had to. I know that it probably wasn't on purpose, but the way that the offensive line was holding up, I saw a bunch of lanes that if Fields looked downfield, and wanted to use his legs, he could cut up the middle, he could cut up the B gap, C gap, or run outside. I thought they did a pretty good job for what they were asked to do and what the circumstances were.
Me too, man. I thought it was going to look ugly, and at the very least, it did not look ugly. A couple of QB center exchange issues, which has been a problem with Fields in the past and obviously during the preseason. Apart from that, I really can't complain. I thought Dan Moore Jr. did a good enough job. I thought Broderick Jones did not look horrendous, which he had in the preseason. They consider Faltanu their second-best offensive lineman, according to Jerry Dulac. And they consider Seumalo their best offensive lineman. So you're without your top two guys, in their opinion. And, I mean, there was a sack, third down and long. Fields likes to hold the ball. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think when he needed to throw, he had time to throw. And that's what you're asking for. And they rushed for nearly 140 yards on the ground. You can hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Schneider and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Real quick, we talked about the defense in the last segment. 51 yards in the second half for the Falcons.
That's big time.
Winning football right there, man.
Yep.
Winning football.
Mm-hmm.
And John, who tweeted in before and said that the Steelers' defense is going to need to score, said he had tweeted that facetiously. So he was just joking around.
Okay. Makes sense now.
So he says after we call him to the carpet.
Yes.
How about the pregame show? Jay Glazer drops this absolute nuke.
How about this? We're calling this the inside scoop. How's this for a scoop that nobody knows? The day it actually got done, the 49ers were trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was already en route there. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Ayuk happened to show up early to the facility that day. Went downstairs trying to meet with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was trying to get in touch with the front office, but they couldn't take his call because they're trying to get the trade done to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Shanahan actually ran all the way upstairs, said, hold this. Let's put a hold on these trade talks right now. Pittsburgh will call you right back. They went down and talked to Ayuk for about 2 hours. They said, look, You have until the end of practice. We're either trading you to Pittsburgh today, or you could take the deal that's been on the table. It's up to you, but you have till the end of practice. He says, this is where I want to be. Brandon Ayuk remains a 49er.
What if there was a verbal agreement? Like, what if Omar Khan was on the phone with Lynch and he's like, hey, we're sending Ayuk to you. Get the paperwork ready. And then Ayuk goes, I want to stay here. Let's get something done. And, like, how does that go down? Like, how does that...
Man...
I know nothing's signed or anything, but like.
I just imagine Kyle Shanahan, like the McAllister family in Home Alone, running through the airport. Just like busting ass up the stairs. No, wait! Don't do it! Don't send him to Pittsburgh! Wait a second here! Just sprinting up the stairs. I don't know if it really was that dramatic. It does sound like what you just said is the way it was going, though. Like, they thought it was going to get done, which absolutely spits in the face of a tweet that Dulac sent out. Right after the Ayuk deal, where he said the Steelers thought this would be the case all along. If Glazer's report is correct, then absolutely they did not think that Ayuk was going to be a Niner the entire time.
Right.
It does drive me nuts, though, Dorn, because about 2.5 weeks before it did get done with the 49ers, I gripped this microphone and I angrily yelled into it, and I said, can you give the man a deadline? And it sounds like that's all it took. Hey, you're either signing this deal or we're shipping you to Pittsburgh. Okay, I'll stay here. Do that 2.5 weeks beforehand.
Right, right.
Like, come on. What it does make me think, though, man, is if they were that close to Ayuk, and you see what happened in game number one, 2 catches for 8 yards from receivers not named George Pickens, I'm going to throw some money on the table right now. I think the Steelers are going to make a deal before the deadline and get a wide receiver.
Do you know how much money they have left cap-wise?
Enough. Enough. I'd have to look and see what Freiermuth's deal does, but Cam's deal only gave them more cap space.
Right.
Maybe it's a Cortland Sutton. Who knows? Guys get hurt, teams fall off. Davante Adams, again, who knows? That team stinks. Las Vegas.
They're bad.
They just need to play more to figure out they stink, but when they do, maybe he's available. If they were that close and that close, this close to the season, and then you see what everybody not named Pickens did, you're not going to stop trying to get a wide receiver.
Mm-mm.
And Mike Tomlin said in his Tuesday press conference, he popped his head into the receiver room in training camp and said, I'm going to need more from you guys.
Right, right. Called him out.
So, like, if they're going to go out there and not do anything, and they did nothing yesterday, Mike Tomlin's going to probably revert back to, you guys need to step up, or let's go find some replacements. So I'd bet good money they get another receiver, and I think they need one. Now, maybe the receivers perform better if Justin Fields gets a full week of practice. Or maybe the receivers play better if Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback. Or maybe when and if Roman Wilson is ready to go, it looks different. But right now, today, September 9th, I'd bet good money they get another wide receiver.
Yes.
412-928-9370. All right, what do you say we spend a lot of time on the league? And a lot of interesting stuff. Wild stuff happened in the world of college football. Let's do a full 30-minute great unsponsored football segment that is actually sponsored. And we'll do that coming up next. Oh, you know what sound that is. It's football music. NFL Films. And that means it's the great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun. Actually brought to you by Champ Tires. All brands in every size. So much NFL stuff to get into. Ton of college stuff to get into. But we start with Tyreek Hill, who gets arrested before the game. He gets cuffed, and then he goes out and has one of the great fantasy days of week one, scores a touchdown, and in the celebration, Doran Dickerson, he does the hands behind the back, pretends like he got cuffed. The best pantomime we've seen in the NFL since Randy Moss mooned the fans in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or a Green Bay.
All the guys on ESPN saying that this could affect the team. You know, they're going to be worried. They're going to be thinking about this. Tyreek Hill's head's not going to be in the right spot. Tyreek Hill's like, oh, you're going to put me in handcuffs? Watch this.
Watch this. What I'm about to do. I run fast.
Yes.
And I run far.
And I catch ball.
And you can't tackle me.
Yes.
So good luck. My favorite non-Steelers result of the weekend, Doran, in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns. Mm. Get their head kicked in at home against the Dallas Cowboys, and Deshaun Watson was dreadful. So Deshaun Watson in the first half, 0-for-7 on throws more than 5 yards downfield, 0-for-4 when pressured, 0-for-4 against the blitz. Overall in the game, 169 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, a paltry quarterback rating of 51.1. That guy stinks.
Man, looked awful. Did you see the one whenever Joe Batonio was on the ground and Watson went to go help him up and Batonio slapped his hand away?
He didn't want it.
Man, there's some turmoil going on there. And there's some other people who are saying, like, well, offensive linemen want to get up by themselves. I'm like, nah. He's like, get the hell out of here. You stink.
Ain't nobody wants to get up by themselves.
Right.
Ever. You're tired. You're blocking. I would lead the show with that today in Cleveland.
He was it almost looked like he was throwing the game. That's how bad he was. Like, I was like, what does he do? He was throwing passes all the way into the bleachers half the time.
Yes, he was.
I was like, you're not even giving him a chance.
Right into the breadbasket of CeeDee Lamb, who plays for the Cowboys, and was on the sidelines.
On the sidelines.
So nice throw there by Deshaun Watson. You say it looked like he was throwing the game. He would never do that because he's got such a great moral compass, that guy.
Exactly.
Deshaun Watson. You would never do that.
Never.
Meanwhile, if that's my second favorite result, because this is connected to that, maybe it's my third favorite result, Baker Mayfield. 289 yards. 4 touchdowns, no picks, a QB rating of 146.4. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that getting rid of a guy who put it all on the field for you with a busted up shoulder in his final season, for a guy who was accused of doing all the things Watson did, paying Watson all that guaranteed money, giving up all those draft picks, it is the worst decision in the history of the National Football League, and it couldn't happen to a better franchise. Baker Mayfield would have that team
yep.
as a Super Bowl contender right now, and there would be no question about whether or not he was a franchise quarterback, because that's exactly what Baker Mayfield is in Tampa. I was never the biggest Baker fan.
Me neither.
I didn't think he'd ever be good. I thought he was fine. I thought he was better than they gave him credit for in Cleveland. He is not a top 10 guy, but he's a franchise caliber guy. If he were in Cleveland, they'd have a shot, and he's not. And Deshaun Watson is terrible.
Here's another one. How about this?
How about this to me, Doran?
How about this? Deontay Johnson. 2-for-19.
Oh.
2-for-19. They got blown out. I mean, they got blown out. What was the score?
Wait a second. So you're telling me that Dante Jackson had half as many catches as Deontay Johnson?
Yes. 47-10, they lost to the Saints.
See, this is so much more fun when the Steelers win. You get to make fun of Deontay. Yes. You get to make fun of the Browns. And look, we started the show and we talked about there are still Steelers fans complaining despite the win. I'm going to do this year. I'll vow this to you, Doran, and to you, Callis, and to the listening audience. Once it turns to October, November, if you're winning ugly and you feel like they're not going to have the goods, I'll complain. I'll bitch. I'll moan. If you find a way to win in September, I don't really care what it looks like.
Mm-mm.
The Bengals lost to the Patriots. The Patriots are terrible. Terrible. I think we predicted New England would cover the spread.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think they had a puncher's chance in hell of winning that football game. And I picked Cincinnati to win the division before the season because they have the easiest strength of schedule. Well, that's one you would absolutely have chalked up as a dunk.
That was an absolute win.
It's a layup. It's a gimme. It's a dunk. Nothing.
Zero.
Texter, how many touchdowns has Crowley thrown in his life? Count playing on the street. Well, on the street.
On the street?
On the street. I was slinging it. I threw 4 interceptions once, Doran, in an intramural playoff game, flag football.
That's not good.
4 picks.
That's not good.
Including one.
Why would they let you continue to play quarterback?
I got them there. You know, you ride me until the playoffs and you expect them to come out of it. Nah, 4 picks. Including, Doran, I might add, one where the linebacker for the opposing team clapped, threw his hands up, and I just threw it right. My man went, and I went, okay, hot read, right to the linebacker. Now ask me if I was sober.
No, you weren't.
I was. Yeah, still threw 4 picks.
Wait, the linebacker clapped. You're like, okay.
He did. He clapped. I threw it right to him. Yeah.
Oh,
But I have thrown some. I have thrown some touchdowns. Thank you. I'm not sure what the texter's point is there. You don't have to have thrown touchdowns in college football or the NFL to know that Deshaun Watson stinks.
Is that what they're saying? Like, I don't know. How is that relevant to anything we're talking about?
How many touchdowns has Crowley thrown in his life?
How many has the texter thrown?
Yeah. How many have you thrown?
Oh my gosh.
I do think that's the worst decision in the history of professional football, and one of the worst, Babe Ruth perhaps, going to the Yankees in all of professional sports.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson.
Bad, 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 bad.
Steelers 1-0, first place in the AFC North. I thought Bo Nix looked bad yesterday. That's who you got next. Steelers against rookie quarterbacks historically, going back to Dick LeBeau, have kicked their butts.
Yep.
Under Mike Tomlin, even without LeBeau, generally kicked their butts. I think the Steelers, it's Monday, I think they win next week. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. What? Did you think Brady was good, by the way? Because
I thought he was just all right. I was a little underwhelmed. I thought he would be a little bit better. I thought he would take the Romo route, which they probably told him not to do, and call out plays. But you could just tell and sense that he was nervous, which that took me by surprise, because I just thought he was like, I'm Tom Brady. I'll just go do whatever I want. You know, he has the most confidence in the world, usually. But it seemed like he was nervous.
It really did. He did a pregame hit on Fox and was very stiff.
Uh-huh.
Didn't answer the questions that they asked either. He kind of just gave you boilerplate stuff.
Right.
I've heard him in sit-downs. Like, he did the podcast with his buddy. He did the radio, whatever, with his friend from Boston before, and I think he's always been very good at that. I think once he gets comfortable, he'll be good.
Yeah.
I think he lacked the energy yesterday. I was totally underwhelmed. When Romo came in, Romo was elite.
Elite.
And now I think he stinks. But when he came in, initially, he was very good. I think Brady will figure it out. Early return's not outstanding.
It's not easy. It's not as easy as it sounds.
That's right.
It's not.
Just because you know football doesn't mean you can convey it.
No.
And it doesn't mean you're not going to be nervous. It's a totally different thing. I didn't think he would be, but it makes sense that he was. All right, one last thing here. Deshaun Watson, 0-for-10 passing 15-plus air yards on Sunday. 0-for-10. It was the worst 0-for on those throws by any quarterback in a game since 2006 when air yards were first tracked. Are you still laughing about my...
Yeah, I can't help it. I just can't. I keep picturing you like, oh, here. I have legit tears. You're like, I threw four interceptions. One was a linebacker that clapped, and I just threw him the ball.
You were wearing uniforms, right?
Yeah. Of course.
You wore uniforms?
Yeah, we did.
So, it wasn't just like street clothes and everybody had to remember your teammates. Okay.
No, my guys were wearing bright yellow and their guys were wearing red, and I threw it right to them. All right, one last thing here from the NFL. Matthew Stafford last night threw 49 passes.
Jeez.
I think there's an outside shot he breaks the all-time record for pass attempts in a season this year.
Whew,
I think they're going to throw it a lot, you know. Lions 1-0. All right, bunch of great stuff happening in college football. We'll get to a few more NFL notes coming up in the next segment, but also a topsy-turvy college football slate this weekend, including Pitt with one of the great comeback wins in their program's history. Mark Caboli is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock, so sit with us. Former AFC champion Joe Burrow had 169 passing yards, and that team scored 10 points at home against New England, and people want to tell me Justin Fields stunk.
Right.
The hell out of here. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One last NFL note. We got Mark Caboli coming up at 9 o'clock, by the way. The Pat McAfee Steelers insider. He'll be joining us coming up at 9. Dak Prescott, highest paid player in NFL history. $60 million a year. More guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson. And so my hopes and dreams have been dashed, Doran. Dak Prescott will not be the future franchise quarterback of your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Correct. Mm-hmm. He was never going to be. The Steelers were going to pay that much money?
I can't rule them out doing anything anymore because this offseason was as topsy-turvy as it was. Probably not going to pay $60 million, though. Probably not going to do that.
I mean, he's...
For a 10-year vet at the time.
He's a glorified Kirk Cousins.
Wow!
What has he done?
He just walked up in there and beat Cleveland's ass.
What'd they do? What was their last game before that? Their last real game. What'd they do?
I plead the fifth. Pitt won.
Eat that.
That was Pat Bostic at the end of the broadcast.
Eat that.
We talked about that game a little bit earlier on. A couple of ones we wanted to mention as well. Penn State got all they could handle and more from Bowling
Green.
Yeah,
they did. Jeez.
You know why that was? Because West Virginia was their Super Bowl. The Mountaineers were their Super Bowl. They got all geeked up, want to go to Morgantown. They don't care about anything else in the world. PSU unrivaled. They don't believe it. They look at West Virginia as their big rival. They get up for them. Sleepwalk through that game against Bowling Green.
Mm.
I thought the Penn State offense looked fine. Defensively, they just didn't show up. Probably didn't see
it. I didn't see any of it.
Bowling Green could have won that game.
Really?
They could have won that game.
Aren't they up for, like, I mean, at least a quarter?
They were up by 10 early. They were up, what was it, 24, 21, something like that.
Yep.
I mean, it was touch and go for a while there in Happy Valley. I mean, that was a game the entire way.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they got all they could handle, and they lose to the Northern Illini.
That's awesome.
Whatever they are. They lose to the Northern Illinoisers. College football's stupid, man. Like, I mean, seriously.
It's great, though.
I believe it's the Fighting Illini.
But it's not.
That's Illinois, not Northern Illinois.
Yeah, the Illinoisers, they actually beat the Kansases.
What are they, the Huskies? What are they?
Yeah.
You don't know. If you knew, you would have said, you'd call them the Illinoisers.
I went for comedy there.
Oh.
Gentle as it was, I went for the comedy. The Northern Illinoisers go up in there and they win against the Fighting Irish, who looked every bit a playoff team, I thought, week one against Texas A&M. Penn State looked every bit a playoff team week one against West Virginia. Both teams stink. One team survives. Oregon, they also did not play well. But you know what, dude? None of it matters. It really doesn't. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Notre Dame. If they run the table the rest of the way, do they get in? Maybe. Maybe not. You can argue for them. But anybody else who suffers an early season loss, you still have a chance to make the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they have expanded this thing. I think it's good for a lot of different fan bases. But it does take some, not all, some of the sting away if you're a Notre Dame, if you're one of these teams that fancies yourself a contender and you lost.
Eat that.
Much more on Pitt as we move forward in the week, as it is the Backyard Brawl Week.
Eat that.
All right, coming up next, Mark Caboli, Steelers insider for Pat McAfee, Steelers insider with us right here on 93.7 The Fan. He's going to join us. He was supposed to be in studio. Traffic caught him up. He's going to be on Zoom, so we'll talk to Caboli when we come back, get his thoughts on the Steelers' 1-0 start. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com today, high of 76.
Eat that.